tonight we have video games to talk about, like way more video games than we did 2 weeks ago. Not last week, because last week it's exactly the same number. But now we have more. Mark Bradshaw, how are you?
So it has Abraham Lincoln?
Yes. I don't think you play as Lincoln. I think he just runs the group, like that guy from XCOM.
That's still accessible. I mean, he's too much of a dignified figure for he actually take control of. That just... This is Nintendo, right? It's not like Devolver just like trolled everybody and said, "Hey, we just had this game and put Nintendo's label on it." It's a Nintendo game, right?
Yes, it is the people who make Fire Emblem games,
and those are Japanese people. Still, right? It's not like American. That I can't parse this. Go on. I'll just.
Mike Lemieux, how much of an Abraham Lincoln fan are you?
Pretty big. Like I wear a stovetop hat. Like one of the big hats all the time. So
is like the lid comically flipped up?
Yeah, I mean, I keep my lunch in there. I mean, how else am I going to get it?
Is your lunch just like a can of beans?
Yeah, and like a spoon, and then I have like a bindle also.
Basically, I'm trying to say there's no real difference between Abraham Lincoln fans and the homeless. They're they're roughly like if you cosplay as one, you're basically cosplaying as both.
Yeah, I guess it's all about the lid on the hat being popped up. Like you tape that down, you look classy. Otherwise, you look homeless.
I think the beard would probably give it away because the beard on an actual hobo would be just a frightful nightmare of bugs and hair. Where Abe Lincoln's was actually like presumably. I mean, none of us were there.
I mean, maybe the painter just couldn't fit in the bugs.
Yeah.
I remember when I was because I was an idiot in high school, so we did like a beard party as opposed to a beer party. So we went and bought beards, and the Abraham Lincoln one was not called like Abraham Lincoln, like beard. It was like Abraham Lincoln disguise.
So you could fool people into thinking you were Lincoln?
Yeah, it's not a costume, it's a disguise.
You just like walk in like, "Hey, Mr. Lincoln, wait a second. That's a fake beard.
This
you're not Lincoln at all."
Point Break.
This was significantly after.
You dress as a president, you must be robbing a bank.
I was thinking about that the other day. I was watching some show where like they were wearing masks while robbing a bank, but they weren't dressed as presidents, and it just seemed weird. So, Dave Owen, how are you?
Good. I'm ready to tee off on another free-to-play. That's for Brian. Sorry, I had to do that.
Well, you took a swing, and that's what matters.
Yeah.
Join the club, though.
Yeah, par for the course.
Yeah. So how does your first, like this last week was the first time you actually paid attention to E3?
Yeah. I mean, I've always been a PC gamer, elitist, whatever. And it's never really grabbed me. But, you know, I can definitely see why people like to watch it and get excited about it. You know, and coming off of I wouldn't say there are any games I'm particularly excited about because I don't own any of the consoles for which the cool games are coming out except for, you know, the ones that are also coming out on PC. But it was fun, definitely, watching like 8 hours worth of conferences and paying attention to all this industry stuff that has always been in the periphery for me. But I usually just wait for someone else to sum it up for me and say, "Hey, this stuff's coming out. Here's some trailers."
So the pageantry and the drama is the most exciting part, which I agree with.
Yeah, pretty much.
Matt Pierce, how are you?
I'm okay. Working on like 3 hours sleep, though. Yay, babies.
I thought she was finding sleep more manageable now, or...
She used to be awesome at it, and now she seems to be terrified of the idea that we're not in the room with her. So, oh well. So yeah, 1 o'clock to 5 o'clock last night, I was up with her.
My kid is doing the exact same thing right now. I don't want to be alone. So maybe it's just natural progression.
It's a fun transition from sleeping all the time to I don't ever want to sleep. Then like 18 years later, it's God, I wish I could sleep all the time.
Mm-hmm.
If only they let me. Terrible society.
Yeah. The man keeping me awake.
I don't know. It always pisses me off when I go to sleep because it just seems to me like incredibly unfair that a third of my life is being spent just basically unconscious and completely vulnerable. I can't do anything with it.
Yeah, I'd rather be comfortable in bed than be unconscious in bed.
Yeah, at least I can do...
Yeah, you're getting something out of it. You're not just wasting time.
Yeah. Like, read. I would be on the internet, let's be frank. I would just be on another 8 hours a day. But that's not the point. It'd be my choice to be on the internet, not my stupid brain just being a pussy and saying, hey, we're gonna go out for a little while. Thanks.
I've always thought about, like, you know, the what if they gave you a pill that made it so you never had to sleep again thing. And I realized I would just waste all those hours.
Yeah.
Like, if given the choice, I would be like, yeah, I'm just going to surf the internet and look at cool things.
You'd be F5ing NeoGAF in the middle of the night going like, man, nobody's posting.
You know, that wouldn't happen. Like, if they gave us those pills, then what would happen? Our bosses would say, hey, you don't have to sleep for another 8 hours a day. You could be over here working.
For the same amount of money.
Yes, for the exact same. There's so much more work we could have you guys do.
Yeah, that would kind of wreck the economy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would guarantee you those pills would be covered by every health insurance plan.
All right. So often delayed, we had our Odin Sphere Limited Book Club choice. Mm-hmm. Which,
How many of us actually managed to get to it?
I did.
I did, of course, because I chose it. That'd be real weird. I know Matt did, right?
I got to some of it.
Okay.
I haven't gotten any farther since the last time we mentioned it. But
yeah, I played about 2 hours, 3 hours.
Yeah,
I'm going to guess it does not significantly change further on.
It does in that, I don't, did you guys just play through when you're playing as Gwendolyn? Did you get to any other characters?
I was just the Valkyrie.
Yeah, okay. I tried to push for more characters, but I didn't make it.
The other characters do have significantly different gameplay, but the game itself stays roughly the same. It still stays like a very 2D, like one. It's not even like 2D, like brawling game where like fight, like Final Fight. It's just like on one plane. It still is just the same game. The enemies change a little bit because, you know, when you're fighting, because the other characters are of different factions. So you can fight as the fairy faction. So you're fighting dwarves and who like are Gwendolyn's faction. And they fight a little bit differently, but not enormously differently. And of course, the same mechanics stay in place with like cooking and alchemy, and the rest stay the same. But yeah, it's the gameplay does change up a little bit. But you know, for however, I've never actually got past the third character in this game because it's a difficult fucking video game.
It's a very dense video game.
Yeah,
like I wouldn't say deep, but very dense.
Yeah, it's a shallow pool, but it's a wide pool. Let's put it that way. There's just so much weird mechanics in this game, because in addition to just the fighting, which is fine, I find the fighting very, very nice in this game, you have the alchemy system, which is just fucking it's still obtuse. I've played this game since 2006. I still don't know what I'm doing with alchemy after all this time. And then you have to unlock the cooking system at the cafes in the castle, and you're growing trees in the middle of these fights. So you have these huge armies. At the beginning of the fight, you gotta grow a tree, because whenever you kill something, their spirits go to infest this tree, and then you can harvest the tree for stuff to eat, or for more seeds to plant more trees to harvest more souls, which is kind of a dark thing when you think about it, but you can still do that.
You know, and if you forget to do that, you might be completely screwed by the time you realize, oh shit, I can only carry like 3 biscuits, and I fucking needed a tree.
Yeah, and like the enemies in a level don't really respawn that well. So if like you clear out an area and you don't like do your tree farming, your soul farming for the trees to get the seeds you need for like to refill your health, well, when you're going to fight the boss, you might be completely bone because you don't have any more health items. So
I mean, this is sort of a staple of vanillaware games in general. Of like this, there we have so many systems, but really all you really need to do is know how to hit the enemy better.
Yeah.
And if you do that, then you're probably fine. You can ignore all the rest of the stuff.
I had trouble with some of the bosses, and I was thinking, oh, I need better items. It's like, no, I need to start thinking like an 8-bit platformer and memorize this boss pattern.
Yeah, pattern-based boss fighting, right?
That's the same that's true of Muramasa and Dragon's Crown as well.
But Muramasa is a little easier to just rush in. Like, you're a little bit more agile, you're a little bit more fluid. So if you get into trouble, you can get out of trouble a little easier.
Yeah. Which, when you start playing Dragon's Crown, it really feels like that's the game that they wanted Odin Sphere to be.
Now, does Dragon's Crown, does it still stay on the same strict 2D platform, or can you, like, move up and forward and back in the plane?
It's Final Fight, so yeah, forward and back.
Okay. I felt that was the big limitation to Odin's Sphere. It did help in that in Final Fight, there's always an issue where, okay, you can never tell if you're completely lined up with the enemy, and for a little while, like every time you start a combo, your first couple punches are going to miss. You just look like an idiot, just like swinging in midair, waiting for somebody to come after you, which I thought was a great improvement in Guardian Heroes. Like, it still had that back and forth in the planes, but they're stuck on, like, I think four or five different, like, 2D locations.
Yeah. Which is also interesting because I've been playing Code of Princess recently, and comparing that to Odin's Sphere, like, they're both very flawed games in a lot of ways, but Code of Princess, like, eschews every little bit of depth for just saying, like, all right, just punch these guys. You have this thing that makes it easier to punch them. So do that. Well, Dragon's... I don't even remember what game I'm talking about anymore. Odin's Sphere is basically... It all boils down to how well you punch them, but you have all these other things that can be used if you really want to.
Now, it was Code of Princess. That wasn't Vanillaware, was it?
It was not. It was...
Okay.
I think it was like the old Guardian Heroes team.
Yeah, there's some lineage there. I'm not sure if it's the exact team, but something.
It's got
and
that.
It plays a lot like it, but it looks nothing like it, and that's a huge bummer.
It looks okay, though.
I don't think it looks that good. It's all like pre-rendered sprites. Yeah.
What, Code of Princess?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame. That's the big draw to be, well, one of the big draws, because the gameplay itself, I think, is fine. But a lot of the draw for Vanillaware games, and Odin's Sphere specifically, is the sprite work. Yeah. I think this is simply the most, well, I can't say the most gorgeous sprites we've ever seen, because I'm going to remember something else that came on, but definitely like in the top five, top three of like just the most gorgeous, most beautiful like 2D sprites I've ever seen. Just like when the big... The Odin King comes out onto the screen, and just this beautiful, like multi-layered, huge, huge sprite coming out there. Just breathtaking work they've done on this.
But I mean, also you know that that was when Vanilla was like, "Who cares? We're gonna do all the cool things that we always wanted to do, and we don't give a shit about whether or not like this actually performs well." And then after that, they're like, okay, maybe we need to take it a little bit easier on this. Because, like, there's some really big bosses that the second you get on screen with them, the frame rate just dies.
Yeah, and it's hard to see how they felt that this was, like, not even playable, but just, like, desirable. It's like, playable is one thing. It's like, how did they get to this point and say, well, we're so dedicated to our art, and don't get me wrong, that's great, but we're so dedicated to our art, we can't stand to see any element of this enormous spider be taken out to the woodshed. We got to keep the whole thing in there, and, you know, that our fans will appreciate what's gone into this.
And, like, that first boss you fight with the, little wind magic people that he keeps summoning out.
Oh my god,
like,
yeah.
If you let him, he will summon a bunch of them. And it took me like 5 minutes just to kill all of them to get the frame rate back to normal order. It reminded me of like in NES games where I'd be like, I have to kill this guy just because I can't deal with all this stuff at once.
Well, some developers will use that as like a stylistic choice, like Treasure. They will occasionally like use slow down to like emphasize like, holy shit, there's a lot of amazing things going on here. Just take a look at this explosion. It didn't feel like this because this was going on in the middle of the game. And I feel like this is really annoying, guys. Yeah. I appreciate the art, but holy crap, you could put like half as much stuff out there.
Treasure did it to Michael Bay, their game, and Vanillaware does it because they didn't understand the limits of game making.
Now, there were a lot of games during that latter PS2 era that had this issue. I don't know if like developers just got tired of waiting for like the PS3 to come out and didn't want to develop for the GameCube or Xbox for whatever reason. But it seemed like the latter fourth of PS2 rather had this issue where developers just gave up. Say, here's all the artistic things we wish we could do. Tell Sony to release their fucking system. We can't deal with this anymore. So here, watch this slow down and watch like there be like five things in Shadow of the Colossus they can actually interact with. We're sorry.
I mean, it was one of those things where like we have 120 million people that we can sell a game to right now. Let's just make that idea we had and see how well it works out.
Yeah. And then we'll improve it once the Wii comes out, hopefully, I guess.
Did you guys ever play, speaking of frame rate issues, you ever play an SNK, a Neo Geo game that it's a two-player shooter? Where, like,
it's a point?
No, it's a competitive shooter. So, like, each each side of the screen is a different player. And, I can't believe I can't remember it.
Well, but I will tell you this, that every non-fighter SNK, like Neo Geo game, toward the end, had this issue because they just did not give a shit about what they were doing in the system. They're just going to go out there, hey, look at this. It's flickering and slowing down, but look at this. You can't do this on the SNES, you losers.
Well, it was kind of weird because what I remember about the game was that it would slow down because the bosses would just spew out bullets, mm-hmm. but you needed the slowdown because otherwise you couldn't actually dodge everything. So they made a port of it on the Dreamcast where you could turn off the slowdown, and it was utterly unplayable because everything was designed to this one platform that would slow down at a specific point.
That was another, I think that's an element to the shooter hell, a bullet hell rather, shump design. They'll actually throw out so many bullets out there that you need to slow down to survive. So it actually could have been an element to the gameplay.
That's going to drive me nuts until I remember the name. I'm just going to shout it out in the middle of some other conversation.
Well, you see, it was like an SNK, that game that got ported to Dreamcast, so it had to... There's not a whole lot there that could be.
Yeah. I'm relatively sure Odin Sphere itself started on Dreamcast, because it and Dragon's Crown were both projects that were meant for that, and I can't imagine how much more worse this game would run on that.
I don't know, maybe being on the Dreamcast would force them to rein in some of their expectations a little bit, although there is some speculation that their elements for the Dreamcast may have been a little more powerful than the PS2, so yeah. Who knows, maybe they would have shown up as the exact same video game.
Oh,
it would have been better because it's on Dreamcast.
I was wrong. It wasn't ported to the Dreamcast. It was ported to the Saturn. Twinkle Star Sprites.
Okay.
Twinkle Star Sprites is on the Dreamcast.
Is it?
Yeah. I was just going to ask you if that's what it was.
That's such a fucking great game. I'm very lucky that in college I knew a bunch of people who were addicted to Neo Geo and Saturn games. Because I had to play all sorts of stuff I never would have played otherwise.
It's on the Wii Virtual Console.
That's cool.
In Japan, I imagine.
Oh.
Yeah, we didn't get a whole lot of... We got, Magician Lord? Nobody actually likes Magician Lord. Everyone thinks they do.
Everybody likes Magician Lord because it reminds them of Nick Arcade.
Yeah. Okay.
I like Magician Lord.
Have you verified this in recent years?
When the Neo Geo collection came out for the PS2, I played Magician Lord. That was an acceptable video game.
It's not a terrible video game, but it's a quarter muncher. Have to know right ahead that it was designed to be an arcade game, not a home game.
This leads back to Odin Sphere and why I selected Odin Sphere. I have a weakness for 2D games with great sprite work that have very simplistic gameplay. So just the simplistic arcade stuff that's going on in Magician Lord and Odin Sphere recalls to me, because the sprites in that game are just big and well drawn, and that's a lot of the appeal to me.
See, I like Magician Lord. In concept, when you're playing it, you just have to keep reminding yourself that it's designed to kill you over and over and over again.
Yeah.
That you aren't a horrible loser. It's designed to eat your quarters.
And I wonder, that same philosophy tainted a lot of Japanese action game development during the 80s and 90s. Yeah. And I wonder if the fact that basically went away because the arcades are gone. I mean, sure, there is some arcade culture still in Japan, but for the most part, it's gone. I wonder how much that affected a game like Odin Sphere, because I'm not sure where the difficulty is in that when you just have unlimited continues. Or any 2D game like this, when you just have unlimited continues, there's not a whole lot of consequence to dying in these games. You just restart the previous level again. And they have to do that because if there was consequence, then the game would be ungodly difficult. So I just wonder, because this happens a lot with 2D action games coming out of Japan following the arcade.
I don't know, they're very... I feel like that game's influence is way more in... this is a far-off reference, but SNES Aladdin, because George Iwatani was the director for that game.
Okay.
And you can see those references peppered in here and there, but that just the way that running and jumping felt in that game, it was this is a whole lot like that old title.
Okay.
But and also there's even a direct reference in Dragon's Crown, where you use runes to make spells, and to access the magic carpet, you have to spell SFC, so Super Famicom.
Nice.
It's really hard to play this game and not just see, like, okay, where this is. This was a Vanillaware start. It was Grim Grimoire that was the first game that they released on PS2, right?
They were on the same period, but yeah.
Yeah. So this is their first action game that we saw, and then compare that to, say, Dragon's Crown, and they haven't changed that much. Like, they've just basically been, like, reiterating on the same ideas.
Yeah, well, it's a very simplistic concept that they don't really have to improve upon much. I mean, everything you see, aside from the weird subsystems, which really seem a lot like filler, like, everything you see there was hammered out before Final Fight, even. Yeah. Just the only real refinement is the smoothness of the animation.
They love food mechanics, like, yeah, cooking mechanics in, like, every game, and it's always just an excuse for them to draw really nice looking food.
Hmm.
Like, I mean, it's looked really great, but it just, once you see it, it's like, well, that's there, but why do I need to use this?
And why is there so much of it?
Yeah.
So the elephant in the room, when we're speaking about Vanillaware stuff, and it wasn't as prevalent in Odin's Sphere, although with the Valentine character, it was pretty much there.
The sexy ladies?
The sexy ladies.
Sexy ladies.
And, like, with Miramasa, it got really bad because there was the octopus. And with Dragon's Crown, it got worse because there was the boob witch. And I haven't seen anything they've done since then. Maybe they're not working on anything since then. But it seems like it became obsession. And it's a shame because it's hard to enjoy these games unqualified with this in the back of your head.
They seem to... I don't know. Georgie Watani seems to think, like, this is his art style. I'm not sure at this point if it's, like, an intention to titillate or his intention to, like, you know, he just wants to draw exaggerated things.
Do you think it's just an issue of, like, trying to sell games? Or do you think that is just his art style?
I think that's part of it. I think if you... Like, there's a lot of games these days that the only thing they rely on is sexual objects.
Mm-hmm.
Like... Because you know you're going to make money. You don't have to put a whole lot of stuff into that game for people to buy that game and buy those action figures and buy those posters.
Yeah, it does seem that way when take a look at, like, the Japanese import scene, the stuff that never really makes its way across to America.
Not even the imports. Look at some of the shit that's coming out on Vita these days.
Yeah, I was going to say Vita's become the home for that shit.
What is that? What was it, Monon Girls or something like that?
The strokey game? The one where you jack off your Vita, right?
That's Mon Piece Girls.
Yeah.
That was it.
God, say that name one more time. Monty's Girl. It's not
Monster Monty's, right?
There it is.
Yes, there it is.
So, like,
you're researching it, right?
There's a JPEG of a girl on the screen, and, like, you just rub up and down on the screen while she makes, like, sex sounds.
This is Vita only, right? I'm going to assume because there's no other reason. Yeah.
It's weird that this has become Vita's thing or these kind of games, but.
If it happens to, like, every game system, though, if, like, one system gets its, basically since, like, the TurboGrafx, gets its entire foothold because it has the erotic games, and the person you know who owns this thing is super into it, is kind of creepy because it's all they play, and that's the only console they own.
But the creepy part for me is this is a portable, which means
that's the thing, like, this happens because these games are so easy to sell. That you can just show, like, oh, here's a picture of some sexy ladies, buy this game.
Or sexy dudes. There's that game that's coming out.
Akiba Strip.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's progressive. I like that. Okay.
They call it man service.
There's a market. There has to be a market for that.
Does it also come with a waterproof poster?
Oh, yeah. That game was for PS3, though.
Yeah, I know. Still, I can't get over it.
And thankfully, Vanillaware games are not that bad.
No, they're not. It could be worse.
And I don't know, like, all that controversy about the boob lady, like...
That's not the worst thing in the game. The worst one I've seen is that monk lady that
you
find.
The one that's, like, splayed out and, like, had a demon head.
Fucking spread eagle just heaving at the screen.
That's not even the worst one in the game. The worst one is the mermaid that, like, the fin starts below her ass.
And you can see her ass and her tits somehow. Yeah. Like, she's corkscrewed, so you can see everything.
It's the perfect mermaid. That's great. Thanks, guys.
But, like, I don't know. I had a friend who was, she was how to put it, not unlike the boob lady, the witch from Dragon's Crown.
Yeah.
And she had problems with the reaction to that game because she felt like it hurt her self-esteem that people were constantly criticizing the proportions of that woman, of the character, because she feels like, or she felt like that nobody, or she couldn't dress sexy because people think automatically if a girl with that proportion dresses sexy, it's slut-shaming.
Well, it's always going to be an issue when a lady with that proportion is going to go to a con too, because they're all going to say, "Oh, look at the pretty girl with the huge boobs." Or, so it's going to be an issue like in this culture too. And that's a shame. But yeah, I mean, I can understand that's a weird issue. I hadn't really looked at it that way.
I mean, there's nothing that can really be done. Is that Vanillaware is going to constantly. Because Dragon's Crown is a success. It was a pretty big success.
Oh, it was. That's good news.
I never really heard much about it. It seemed like it just kind of came and went quietly.
It apparently did hit 1 million worldwide. So probably a bit over that now with sales and whatnot.
They're still independent, right?
They are, yes, still independent. Like, that game went through some crazy development stuff. Because, like, I remember Ignition was the first one that picked it up.
Yeah, it got, like, a hair's breadth away from being canceled, right?
Right, Ignition picked it up, and like Ignition made a bunch of crazy promises, like if you buy one copy, you get the other copy free, and it's going to be like $30, and of course it'll be online, and then Atlas picked it up when Ignition died, and they were like, yeah, none of that stuff they said made any sense, we're pretty sure we know why they're so bad at making money. But yeah, Odin Sphere is, it's more of an interesting case study, like not case study, but interesting thing to look at in the past than it is like a really great game.
Yeah, like I said, like I just had a fondness for it, a weakness for it. I just wanted to see, like, I guess, like I may be still alone in that. I don't think I had a terrible time with it.
I think it's a beautiful mess in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. It's flawed, but what the things it does very well. But it's just flawed enough that it's hard to make it really, I don't know, like lovable. I don't know if that's the right word for it. I want to talk about the Lollipop Chainsaw later on in the podcast because I played that too, and it's reminded me a lot in that it's like this is a great concept, but just like fatally flawed in its execution. And I really
it's a concept that if you had better designers on it, then it would have been like a classic.
Yeah, yeah.
That's kind of how I feel about Muramasa, which is the only Vanillaware game I've played. I just couldn't reconcile how much I wanted to like that game with what the game actually was.
So much of it is beautiful and amazing, but like the actual act of playing it,
like I'm just on my knees in front of the TV going like, I want to love you, just be better. Come on.
I really liked
please.
Muramasa, but the thing is I ignored like almost all of the systems in it. I don't really think I ever forged any swords or cooked anything.
I just didn't like that game at all.
It just it was a 5-hour game that for some reason was 20 hours.
Like developers like Vanillaware and Grasshopper, they remind me of like a writer who stuff you love to read, but badly needs an editor. And I think this could be amazing if they just had someone telling them you can't do this thing you're doing.
So the do this is problem.
Yeah, kind of like that. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's they are a developer that made a whole lot more sense in the PS2 era than they make sense now. And I don't mean to like criticize them, like say, oh, Vanillaware shouldn't exist. Like I want them to make better games mainly because I love the art. It's just like Dragon's Crown should not have been a game that cost whatever it cost. I think it was like $60 on PS3.
Yeah, and it's hard to justify that sort of thing in like just being sold on disc. That's another issue. Is like. We talk about this a lot on this podcast, but just that middle ground of games that used to cost $40 is gone. Like, I don't know if Vanillaware can do what they do selling games for $5 on the iPad. I don't know if they could do the same thing selling games for like $15 on Steam. There is a level of commitment and money that they need to do what they do, and I don't know if that market still exists anymore. And that's a shame.
Do you guys know the ass pull they use in Dragon's Crown to like justify that game's length?
Why do they do it? Have you played like 3 times?
2 times. Okay. So the first time you go through, you're not allowed to play multiplayer. Uh-huh. Like, you just can't do it. So you have to do all that area solo or with AI partners or with a local multiplayer partner. And when then you say, okay, now you go through all these levels again and they're harder, but this time you can bring a friend.
Do you have to have a friend to succeed?
No. You can you can totally do it on your own, but it just it's really annoying if you bought that game to play multiplayer with other people.
Yeah.
And you're 20 hours away from doing it.
Yeah. Like you can rush through, but it's not a fun slog, especially if you want to play it with friends.
And by that point you've already seen everything that the game has to offer, so it's like, well.
Like they would benefit so much from just making tighter experiences.
You know, game like we put up with a bunch of bullshit in games. Like, we would never expect you to have to, like, watch The Dark Knight Rises twice just to get everything out of it. That would be bullshit. People would say, what are you doing? This is stupid. We wouldn't expect you to, like, have to read, I don't know, like the Fault in Our Stars. We'd expect you to read, like, three times to get to the good ending of The Fault in Our Stars. Just,
yeah. A why book do we that do changes this? Slightly every time you read it.
Yeah, there's like a new paragraph every 100 pages every time you read it. In order to get the full experience of the book, you have to read like 9 times. It sucks, but it's amazing on the 9th time. And it's just like, I don't know, it sounds like Stockholm Syndrome. A lot of the things where you have to...
What really gets at me about that is there are people I know who will read the same book like every other year or so because they enjoyed it so much. Like you would still get 20 or 30 hours out of a game if it's good enough, even if the game itself is only 5 or 6 hours.
But what they fear is that somebody is going to buy that game, run through the story, and then sell it back.
Yeah.
So that, well, this stuff has been there even before then, rentals during the NES and SNES periods. They would still do weird things like this. Like Castlevania Symphony of the Night, it's not a really good example because they actually forced you to play through it twice. At least the second time, like things are considerably different in the Upside Down world. But you were talking about games that you know you replay every couple of years. Like that's something I replay every couple of years because it's that good. I don't want to replay like Odin Sphere like 15 times. Like, I'm pretty sure I want to play it once and just have a beautiful experience, and then walk away from that experience.
I think they would benefit. Like, so the problem is that they need a publisher to pay for all that time they spend drawing all these sprites.
Yeah.
And like no publisher wants to make all that investment and just release it on like a download service. But they would work out so well, like Dust and Elysian Tale did, just putting a game out on Xbox Live and Steam and PSN.
But unfortunately, like, Dust worked. The economics for Dust works out because it was like one guy just had to be himself. Like I don't know how many people Vanillaware has. It's probably like at least 100, I guess. I don't know. You have to figure. Like you have to pay that many people.
They would work out a much better to a small developer and making really small games. Instead, they're a somewhat bloated developer that's making like way bigger than games than they need to.
I guess that's a good statement for the Japanese gaming development as a whole.
Yeah. Or maybe what happened with Capcom today. Who knows, like, how long that's going to last.
Yeah, they decide that anybody can buy that. They're not going to protect their shares anymore. Somebody can come along and just buy out the company.
And it's going to be a heartbreaking result, I think, for people. Yeah. Because it's going to be like Nexon or Tencent.
Yeah, it's going to be some...
Gung-ho.
Yeah, it's going to be some Chinese mobile gaming company. And that back catalog that we've been begging them to do something with is going to disappear.
Going to go straight to mobile. It's going to be like Mega Man Pachinko.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our Nexon tried to buy EA a couple of years ago, and EA decided not to accept the offer. So they're looking.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like in the back of your head, it's like, well, maybe because of course Warner doesn't have that many to do this, but like they need a good developer who can make good DC games. Maybe they should buy Capcom. No, probably not going to happen.
Now they can stick with NetherRealm and make the giant titted Wonder Woman that... God, I showed you guys that picture, right? Like, it's just Wonder Woman next to Killer Frost, and she's, like, spilling out of her metal corset.
No, I hadn't seen that.
It's terrible. Anyway, Odin Sphere.
Anyway, that sexualized Odin Sphere really sucks. Stupid Japanese games.
I mean, their restraint for the Valkyrie is surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because at least, you know, she looked like a well-designed heroine.
Yeah. And it kind of a strong hero. Well, aside from, like, her just, like... just deferring to her father constantly.
Yeah. Also, she's an idiot, but
there's that.
Well, yeah, and that culture had some pretty messed up stuff going on. There's the point where you get to a story beat where it's like these female warriors don't want to be taken off the battlefield because they're just going to be married off and they have no agency and who they're going to marry or what the rest of their life's going to be like. Well, you were a good warrior, so you're going to marry this other good male warrior and he's going to be your husband and you're going to produce good baby warriors.
Which is fucked up because you see no guy Valkyries like doing jack shit in this game. It's like female Valkyries or like the dwarves, and the dwarves are getting shit done, and the Valkyries are getting shit done, but the guy, you know, they're not there. They're just not there at all.
There's that one giant guy that's just a huge asshole to everyone for no reason.
I think he was like a mutant dwarf. He really seemed like he had the dwarf design, and I'm pretty sure that he would do terrible things to a Valkyrie anatomy. That just something else.
Okay, I think that's where we need to drop
forever.
So I think I'm next.
Okay.
So I think I decided on Far Cry 3. We haven't consulted with Brian, so maybe it'll change if he's like, no, I can't play that ever. But it'll probably be Far Cry 3.
It's against my religion
coming up.
Steam sale should theoretically be this week. Hopefully. Because next month is the international, so they gotta put it now.
Also, the good old game sale started some point last week. So you have to assume that there's some collusion going on there, that they give themselves a heads up or something. Say, hey, we need to get these game sales start around the same time.
Yeah, not that anybody notices, but Gamers Gate summer sales going on too. So yeah, it's just kind of that season.
I get emails from them. I'm not sure why. I don't know if I ever bought anything from them. Like I go to key sellers all the time. So
I get emails from them too. Maybe we went in on a cheap game or something.
Maybe.
But the GOG sale is really weirdly put out. Because when it first started, I noticed like Age of Wonders 3 was on sale. And this is very surprising to me because I didn't realize Age of Wonders 3 was released. And I was at work at the time. And, and all day at work, I said, oh my god, Age of Wonders 3. I love Age of Wonders Shadow Magic. It's one of my favorite games ever. That's one of the games I play when I'm not playing any other games. It's like one of my default games. And all day long, I'm pumped. I'm going to buy this game. It's going to be $14. It's going to be great. I'm going to play this all weekend long. And I get home, and it turns out good old game sales go on for 2 hours. And then you're boned. Yep. It may show up later, because apparently it showed up like 15 minutes ago or something. But it's really weird. Basically, they advertised the game to me on Steam, and I was like so pissed off at good old games for doing this to me, I just bought it for full price off of Steam when I got home.
That reminds me of like when the Star Wars sale on Steam happened a couple of weeks ago, and they had like, I think it was the Old Republic art for the banner, even though you can't actually buy that game on Steam.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I think that GOG has decided that that's going to be their thing, these time-sensitive sales, because they do that Insomnia sale where deals, they put 100 copies of a game up, and it's up there as long as it is, and then they'll put 250 copies of the next game up, then they'll put a free game up, and it literally runs for like 72 hours, just limited quantities. They want you constantly going to their website, I guess.
Yeah, they're trying to emulate Woot.
Yeah.
Which, it's kind of funny that, like, when you see those sales, like, oh my god, this Fallout went in, like, a second, then you see a game that just lasts for 10 minutes. Like,
oh, yeah.
Nobody wants this game. Just take it off. Just move on to something else.
You know, the developers has to be, like, looking at this. Can we
buy, like, 50 copies of this, I guess? Yeah.
Can we do, like, the Kickstarter thing where, like, we actually spend our own money on this? That's a shame. I guess it works out for good old games because there is a constant churn of games, but it's just kind of a bummer. Like, if you're not there at the exact right time, then you may be out forever. So that's why I think the Steam sales work out great because it's 8 hours. Anyone can get anything done in 8 hours, and you're like you only have to check the page like three times a day,
and you can do it through your phone. So
yeah.
Yeah,
and you can always get yesterday's deals.
And most things will be on sale twice.
Yeah. And, I mean, worst case scenario, you can have someone go like, hey, can you get this for me? I'll pay you back when I get home.
Yeah, trade it to me or whatever.
Yeah. Like, when GOG announced our client, I was like, I think this is a good idea, and I think it's good you're making it optional, but I don't want to ever actually use it.
Yeah, because like when I get a GOG game, the first thing I do is figure out how to get that thing to work on Steam. I'm not going to use your client, guys. I'm sorry.
Like, maybe EA should have gone that route. Like, we have a thing that you can use maybe if you want to.
Sure, I just have have sales on that. I would probably, I would buy more EA games if there was an easier way to get that stuff operational on Steam. And also Steam cards.
I forget what EA game it was I bought on. Like, it was a non-Steam game. It was like Dead Space 1 maybe, or maybe Dead Space 2. But like, the actual patching process was go to this website, download this thing, and then run this EXE. And I was like, wait a second. I forgot how PC game patching actually worked since I've been using Steam for so long. What the hell is wrong with you, EA?
That really should be just baked into whatever stupid system you've got.
It should be baked into the game. Like, they should just check me, like, hey, we need to patch because reasons.
Yeah.
All right.
Or just don't patch. It's also an option.
Let's break. So, guys, did you know that the Ubisoft laser tag thing actually came out? And it came out in Texas and Canada.
It's so expensive. On Newegg is selling it for $550.
It's a collector's item.
Yeah.
Like, see the downfall of Ubisoft and own it for less than $1,000.
You too can be part of the 2010 E3 conference.
God, was that really 2010? I was thinking today,
Texas.
Leighton versus Ace Attorney is coming out, and I remember I bought that game, or I bought the 3DS. I pre-ordered a 3DS because, like, I want to play this game when it comes out. And it's coming out in 2 months.
And now the 3DS is 4 years old.
Yeah. Crazy times.
So I'm looking at the blaster part for Ubisoft Battle Tag, which apparently is the full name for the device, mind you, Battle Tag, and. Don't know why Ubisoft's making this. Anyway, the gun looks a lot like an actual Glock. This could not have been a good idea in Texas.
Maybe that's why it came out in Texas.
I love the idea that a French company is like, we have this gun product. Where should we test market it? Texas.
Places you don't.
Well, the wastelands of Canada, where there's no.
I actually hope
do.
that's what was on a sheet they gave Yves Guillemot, places you don't mess with, and it just says Texas. It's like, fine. Release it there.
One Texas, two Detroit.
I don't know anything about Detroit, so Texas. They don't know anything about Chicago either.
I have heard of the Texas.
I made the bad call.
They are the John Wayne Bang Bang, right?
It's always funny when he comes out on the Ubisoft conferences, he's standing next to Aisha Tyler, who is a very tall woman, and he's a very short man.
Yep.
It's like he's wearing heels and she's not.
She's sunk 2 feet.
The thing I don't understand about the Ubisoft press conferences, they may have 10 people in the organization who can speak English. Or at least legible English. Hire some PR people that can just do the job of introducing the game for you. You can just tell them, get somebody who's enthused about video gaming. I don't know, get the caffeine dude from Year Before Last. Get him, just tell him about it and have him describe the game. Don't force us to parse this heavy French accent that is spoken three words of English before they arrived on stage to tell us about your stupid bullshit video game.
Then you have to pay for all of Mr. Caffeine's crack.
That's cheap. That's probably super duper cheap to get away with.
I feel like you're about a minute away from telling us that it should be Freedom Fries, Mark.
And it probably should be Freedom Fries.
That's actually one of the arguments Nintendo had about why they don't do E3 conferences anymore is that you have to fly all these developers in Japan. You have to give them a translator or let them nervously talk in English to a crowd that doesn't really they want to just get this over with as quickly as they do.
That's one thing that worked good about Treehouse hosting it is a lot of them speak Japanese. So it's just I'm from the Treehouse. I'm just going to be translating for this guy right here while we do this.
And, Sony's wisely, I don't know about wisely, but they're keeping their Japanese developers off the stage these days. Yoshida is kind of the face of Sony these days, and he was barely on stage. He was out there to talk about Broforce.
He was there to introduce, what game was it? I don't remember. Everyone thought it was going to be Little Big Planet, not the big Last Guardian.
Yeah,
he showed Bloodborne.
Uncharted 3.
Oh, that's right. He showed Bloodborne because nobody could understand what the title was.
I remember watching Giant Bombs going over the Sony conference, and even though he said Bloodborne, they were still I wonder what this game is named.
Well, we thought it was Bloodthorn at first.
Bloodthorn?
Porn.
Oh, Bloodthorn? Yeah. That would also make sense for a Dark Souls sequel.
Yeesh.
All right, so I don't think anything's really happened in video games for the last week.
At all. Post E3 doldrums.
Like,
yeah.
You guys are saying that apparently there's no white people in Far Cry 4. That's a new development, right? Like,
maybe. Like, they all look super white, but they're not. Like, apparently that guy is actually from Nepal, the main character, even though he looks like a...
Is this like when Dead or Alive games come out over here and they just scratch out all the 16s and put 18s? And
go, they scratch out 14 and put 18, but
yeah.
Yes.
No, they're not children. What? You're sick for thinking that.
That's pretty much exactly what's happening, yeah.
You can see, like, the dude's hand when he's, like, reloading a gun or whatever, right? Like, or is he wearing gloves? Like, can we see the main guy's hands?
He's wearing gloves in the trailer. I don't know about later, but...
Okay.
It's, I mean, they're super light-skinned brown people, I guess?
Yeah.
But...
It just seems like a remarkable coincidence.
I think, like, the reason nobody gives them the benefit of the doubt is because you do look at Far Cry 3, which was about Jason Brody, the white-collar student, airdropping into an African nation and solving all their race problems by killing people.
Yeah.
So, we'll see when that game comes out, but they're taking offense at, like, how could you think that this, like, person is, this is a racist... caricature. It's like, because you guys are dumb about it a lot.
And also it's the video game industry, and the video game industry is super dumb about this a lot.
So Watch Dogs is also not super great about race. Like, all the black people are, like, either background decoration or drug dealers.
Well, also, like, nobody's really has Chicago accents or anything in that, so it's not...
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of Boston accents for some reason.
I'm just waiting for them to dodge the female controversy by just taking male characters and going, like, no, they're women. What?
Yeah, they aren't. There's a woman all along. What are you guys? Come on.
My favorite thing is there's a hacker that, like, you hear her talking through, like, the voice-modulated phone calls, and just like, okay, we've got to meet. And it's the same thing with, like, every spy fiction whatever, that, oh, it turns out that the hacker's a woman and no one thought it was possible. Like, why would a hacker be, you know? But she's wearing a shirt that just straight up says DedSec, which is the hacker group that, like, the police are looking for. So I have to think the Chicago police and Watch Dogs are, like, the most incompetent people in the world.
Are there also people wearing, like, I'm with Illuminati t-shirts with, like, an arrow pointing up at them and the arrow
like
eye on it?
You hear these
radio reports.
You hear the radio reports, which is really weird because all your music is, like, on an MP3 player because that's the way they present it. So radio reports break in occasionally. They're like, police are looking for Aiden Pierce, who they suspect, and, like, so-and-so, whatever, I shot a bunch of cops. And then it's like, okay, you know who I am, so A, why am I wearing a mask? B, why am I wearing the same clothes? C, why are there not cops in front of my sister's apartment that I go to frequently? Like... Aiden Pierce is there between, like, every other mission. They know who his name. I don't know. Watch Dogs is dumb. I don't like Watch Dogs. That was one of the things I was going to mention before E3, that I don't like Watch Dogs. It's pretty fucking dumb.
This would be like if you're driving around Grand Theft Auto, and it's like, Nico Bellic is wanted for murder. He works here and lives here. That is all.
Yeah.
And then, like, no cops ever come up to you.
He spent, like, 7 hours sleeping in this bed. You guys can totally find him.
It's a shame you don't like Watch Dogs, because you're going to get a lot more Watch Dogs in your future. Guys, that won MPDs.
I'm guaranteeing you either Watch Dogs 2 will be next year or the year after.
Oh, it's going to get on the conveyor belt of Ubisoft yearly releases. Yeah.
I bet they started working on a sequel before this game was delayed the first time.
I was half expecting it this year. Like, they'd get up on there and be like, last month you joined Aiden Pierce on his quest for vengeance, you know, this fall, something, something.
It could still work out. I mean, that's like the analogy for this has always been Assassin's Creed. So who knows, maybe like the Watch Dogs 2 is like in the pipeline right now. Maybe it'll actually turn out to be a decent video game. Maybe they'll like see the criticisms and do something decent with the concept. Or they'll realize that they sold like 15 million copies and not do a damn thing, which is probably more likely.
I think it's more likely that Yzgimo will grow 3 feet to match H. Tyler than it is that, like, they're going to suddenly have an epiphany about game quality.
Oh, you meant, like, vertical feet. I thought you meant, like, walking feet.
That maybe that'll too, because he needs more fancy shoes. All right, so Mike, why don't you tell us what you've been playing?
I've been playing very many video games, but I have been playing Tomodachi Life.
Okay, well, this is a video game podcast.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So how's Tomodachi Life?
It's, I don't know.
Have you gotten gay married yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. Progress.
Satoru Iwata and Samus Aran, their baby moved out today into her own apartment.
I mean, it's always sad when the kids go. Like,
we named Samus's kid the baby.
That's smart.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty good.
So is this like, do you have to make me specifically for this, or does it pull from like your already existing friends list?
It pulls from whatever you have in Mii Maker on your 3DS. It doesn't pull from your friends list.
So I'm not in there.
No. Hell no. No.
It's a shame. Like
our island has some class, man.
Yeah.
So I keep saying R because I'm using this as, like, me and my girlfriend are basically just playing this game all the time.
Right.
It's kind of like watching a trashy soap opera. So it's basically The Sims. You put in Mii's, they live in an apartment, they bitch at you because they're hungry, and that's it. Pretty much.
So, how is this stream? Because I look at this from the outside in. I've never played any of these video games, so I'm probably being very ignorant about what I'm about to say. How is this removed from their fucking farm, their fucking town simulator? I can't remember the name. Yeah, I was about to say Harvest Moon. I don't know if that's wrong. How is this removed from Animal Crossing?
Because you're not an actual character in this game. Like, all the things are just kind of autonomously moving around, and you're just solving problems for them. Problems that include they're tired of their clothes, go buy them new ones, or they want their room to look different.
This is more Dollhouse than it is Life Simulator.
Yeah, okay. And you get to watch like dumb little skits of like stuff like Ganondorf gets a letter that someone wants to meet him up on the roof, so you go watch is like Captain Olimar wearing a mustache gives him a receipt that he lost and then goes back downstairs.
So are these guys just like living like Nintendo World, or are these like Mii's that are supposed to be like
put in whatever you want. I have okay. We're doing like kind of the C tier Nintendo character island.
Okay.
So like no Mario or Link, but like Samus.
The real people.
Yeah. Got Ganon.
Fat Little Mac.
Waluigi. Some cartoon characters.
Do you have Christina Aguilera in your island?
No. I don't have Shaq either.
What? Or Shaun White.
Sean might know.
Yeah, apparently there are a bunch of celebrities you can scan the QR code on the website and get them into your island.
You should bring Sean White just to make his catchphrase stride gum.
That does remind me, like, if you pay attention to, like the crossover stuff, there was the one Mario basketball game there was either one NBA game that for some reason featured Mario and, like, Peach, or there was, like, a Mario... Yeah. Basketball game that had NBA dudes in it. I can't remember how that thing worked. But at the end of the day, Dennis Rodman is inside the Mario continuity at this point. I wonder if that key can show up, because that'd be great.
If the Koopa kids are coming back, then, you know, anything.
But I kind of don't like that it doesn't pull from your friends list, and yet just make Mii's for it.
Yeah. Oh, so the weird thing is, like, when you street pass, the only way to trade characters is just recently learned this since the baby grew up and moved out, is when they move out, you can set them to be, like, travelers, or that they can stay on your island. And that's the only way you can, like, have people come and go.
I guess I don't want it to be like, oh, well, my daughter was in this person's game, and she got married to, like, this 40-year-old guy.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff like that.
It's like, I want it to be the Dollhouse of my friends. I don't want to, like, have to recreate them all in Mii Maker, because that seems really dumb and pointless.
That seems weird, because I would assume that would have been, like, the big selling point for this, is that you'd just, like, pick up, like, street pass Mii's or, like, your friend's Mii's, and they'd show up. Like,
eventually that's going to happen, but, like...
I guess you can use it for QR codes if they offer it.
Yeah.
Like, if your friends make their QR code for their Mii, then...
So, like, knowing that, I have to ask, what was the point of making this Mii-based to begin with?
Because that's the series, because it started on the DS. Passing and stuff, and...
Oh, so this is a continuing thing. It's like something.
Yeah, this is the second game in the series.
It's Tomodachi. I thought it was number 3.
No, I think it's 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
The thing that's like disappointed us a little bit about the game is that there's just not... doesn't seem like there's that much content. Like, It's also moving really fast. Like, I thought it was one of those, like, play a little bit, you know, every day kind of things, but...
The price seems really criminal.
So 2 days, or the day after getting it, Iwata and Samus started going out. The next day they got married. The next day they had a kid. Like, it just...
In fairness, if you're dating Samus.
Yeah, I know. You lock that shit down right away.
And she's probably super competent at this. And if there's anyone who knows how to have a baby in a day, it's going to be Samus.
Yeah. Rescue it from Ridley.
The hilarious part about it was getting me and my girlfriend's characters together, because, like, just the personality trait that said we were a 27% match. And it was, I think it said friend-zoned or something when we'd run the love tester thing on it. So they just refused to get together.
I wonder if this friend-zone technology is the same technology as the hubometer technology from
Fire Emblem?
From Fire Emblem, yes. Seems similar.
They're probably based on the same joke, is that Nintendo actually made love testers that they specifically didn't work. Like, they just gave out random things for everything.
So how many, like, relationships did Nintendo destroy by doing this?
Or create, who knows?
They're really monsters.
That's a good point.
One hilarious thing I've found about the game is that you can't use swear words, obviously. Like, if you have shit in a name, even if there's, like, a space between the letters, it won't let you do it. But there's no such filter on pronunciations. when you make a Mii's name, it, like, if it pronounces it wrong, you can go in and tweak it. So you could say, have Imran, which is pronounced shit motherfucker cock. And
yeah, it will just say that. Regional.
Yeah. It's the Chicago dialect. That's, you know, what they say in Watch Dogs.
Oh, man, I totally forgot to mention it, but the Watch Dogs PC thing.
Oh, yeah.
They're, like, adding in the graphical effects from E3.
And they're literally named, like, E3 Rain.
Somebody puts some pictures there. It makes the game look a lot better.
Apparently it runs better, you're saying?
Yeah, I'm hearing it runs better somehow.
I might go try that at some point. But,
like, I've started seeing some comparisons of the E3 demo and the gameplay, and, like, the E3 demo where they're in that club and it's, like, all smoky and there's smoke machines everywhere, and then retail is just, like, flat blue, almost no shadows on everything, no fog.
Yeah, it's pretty dramatic. Yeah, I've seen that walk through. Garbage. Yeah, it's a really dramatic difference.
Yeah, it's about on par with the Alien one.
Colonial Marines.
I'm actually really hoping that the GTA 5 PC ends up looking dramatically better.
Yeah, I'm excited for that.
I mean, I'm not excited, but I'm going to play it. So
I want to play that game.
Like, you have to assume, like, there's not going to be a huge difference between, like, the engine in GTA 5 and GTA 4. And, like, just, like, the differences in ice between those two games should be remarkable. I mean, they have the ice technology built into it, or what filters are going on there.
That was basically just, like, slapping a whole bunch of nice-looking shaders on thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty much,
the same geometry and textures, I think. I think it might have upped a couple things, like the road texture, which is pretty bad. But
just pointing out that we're going to be up to GTA 5 in PC, and still no Red Dead Redemption on PC.
I think Red Dead, like, that, it's just over. Yeah. It's time to give it up.
No.
I wonder if...
It's holding the candle.
I have to wonder if, like, there was some kind of weird, like, rights issue, like, with buying the original game. Like,
I think, like, the main thing is that was Rockstar... It wasn't Rockstar North. It was, like, an American Rockstar studio. Mm-hmm. And they've never made PC games.
Rockstar San Diego or something?
Yeah, it was something local. And, like, they never ported their games to PC, so I guess they made something that, like, was very specific to consoles that couldn't be moved over that easily. And who knows? I'm betting whatever the next Red Dead is that's going to also come to PC.
So, yeah, Tomodachi Life, that's about the only game I've been playing. I did play Super Smash Brothers at the Smash Fest thing the other day.
I did too. 4 hours in line.
3 hours in line.
Yeah.
I got there an hour and a half before it opened.
Yeah, I got there on Saturday. I got there 2 hours early, and there were already 50 people in line ahead of me. Yeah. And it had just opened up literally that minute.
So you had the same experience in line that I did, right? Where someone had brought a Wii U and a TV and...
There was one person that brought a Wii U and they were playing Mario Kart with someone else and just using the screen from the gamepad. There was some other people that apparently were from, like, the Georgia Tech competitive Smash Brothers Melee scene that brought GameCubes and TVs and, like, plugged them into the TV or the floor.
So I had that.
Wait. Back up.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia Tech competitive Smash Brothers scene.
Yes.
Yeah, there was competitive Smash Bros. Players where I was.
They were nice guys, but you could kind of tell they were, like, very, very serious. Like, I said, like, oh, I haven't played Melee in a long time. I most recently I played Brawl, and they're like, Brawl, who plays that shit? Like, that's okay. That's a weird thing to say, and I'm like 10 years older than you.
What? Back to Banana Republic, you fascist. So the cool thing at the Best Buy I was at was that the employees actually brought out some open box TVs for people.
Yeah.
So the people on the Wii U were on like a big 60-inch LED, and they brought out chairs and stuff. So it's just
see,
like
all... people there were not that, like, occasionally they bring us water, but
there was just like a fucking house party going on outside the Best Buy.
And there was like, the reason they brought you water is because you would die otherwise, and they really didn't want the PR effect.
Yeah,
there was easily like 400, 500 people in my time that I saw there. Like, it was going around the block.
This was an inside waiting area on a Best Buy.
Oh, no, we had inside too, and the line went outside.
Oh, yeah. So, as for the game, that is Smash Brothers.
Yeah, it is.
About it.
It's impossible to tell you anything about that game from like the combined 6 minutes I played it.
I did play the 3DS version. I'm way more excited about that than I was, because Smash 1 was really fun.
Yeah, they brought that around. It seemed kind of interesting. I don't know how confident I feel about that game being like a comfortable way to play Smash Brothers, because circle pad's not super great. Like, I'd end up whiffing and doing Smash attacks I didn't mean to a lot.
Was yours also like literally attached to a person?
Yes, and she kept walking away, which meant like the 3DSs kept like, because she had a battery pack on her back.
Oh, when I asked the guy, it's when I finished playing and he was standing there and I go like, oh, can I try the 3DS one? He's like, yeah, can I just please get some water first? I'm like, yes, absolutely. I'm not gonna. Jesus, go drink.
She said no. Been like, you're here for my amusement and my amusement alone.
Just be like, what'd you say, bitch? Sit down. I'm gonna play some Little Mac.
Also dance.
You're gonna sit here and street pass with me until I tell you you can leave.
Need those gold pants, motherfucker.
I think what would have been a cool thing, and I understand why they didn't do it, because it would be too easy to keep it, would be to just let people download the demo to their own 3DSs online.
I see people saying that, but it's like, I look at it, it already has more content than PlayStation All-Stars.
No, I don't mean like, you know, download it like permanently. Like one of those like download play demos that you get from like Nintendo Zone.
Yeah.
That just stays in the RAM until you flush it.
Yeah. Until someone gets it home and hooks it into their computer and dumps it on the internet.
That's true. But I don't know that you can do that with a 3DS yet. I don't know.
Hackers are magic. That's what Watch Dogs taught me.
That's new takeaway from Watch Dogs.
That's pretty much it for me.
I played Destiny this weekend.
How is it?
It is Halo with MMO quests.
I saw that it was just rated T and PG.
Yeah, it is so fucking Halo. With like, very first quest I get is like, go over here and scout. And scouting means standing in this one area, like a spot they tell you to stand in, then waiting for a bar to fill up.
Really?
Yes. Wow. And this entire time, Peter Dinklage talks to you as like the most bored person ever.
I've heard he's terrible as the announcer.
He's supposed to be like your little robot pal, except he just like, oh, I guess there's enemies. So if you see something flying, shoot it.
Does he like have like a superior tone of voice where obviously
he's
ironic?
Sleepy. He is super sleepy.
Does it sound like he's got like one hand on the table, the other an elbow holding his head up as he's just like lazily flipping through some pages and going like, that wizard came from the moon. You should probably check your back.
Pretty much, yeah. Like they're literally, there's a line where it says, if you see something flying, shoot it. And it's delivered with nothing. It's like, if you see something flying, shoot it. He is basically less emotional than GLaDOS.
So he's the flying eye in this game, right?
Yeah,
because
he is like it's a thing that basically governs your UI and shows you where quests are and stuff like that.
So we could call him Bortana, huh?
So it's still an alpha, so a lot of things need to be fit. Maybe like the final game will be more interesting, but it feels really good to play. But then when you start like, you know, proceeding on in missions, it's not interesting.
I have to wonder if, like, now, did you enjoy, like, the Halo games?
I enjoyed playing them to an extent.
Okay. So I have to wonder if, like, this is specifically the sort of game you're going to enjoy if you're, like, super into Halo. And the issue with that is there's going to be a new Halo out.
Like, there's like nine different Halos in, like, the next year.
Yeah. So that's going to be an issue for Destiny, because all the Halo guys, they've got an Xbox because they know the deal. So I'm not exactly sure like the point of another Halo.
So, okay, in the Smash Brothers line, the dudes in front of me were actually talking about that. And one guy goes like, oh, the Microsoft conference was so boring because they're just releasing the same games again. I already played all the Halos. And then another guy goes, yeah, but it has Halo 2's multiplayer. And the first guy goes, what, really? Oh, man. Oh, I got to get that. It's like, but you just said.
I mean, everyone has it. Like, some people are going to be like, well, Nintendo didn't really show me anything interesting. And then somebody will say, like, yeah, but did you see Smash Brothers? Like, oh, shit, this one has Palutena or, you know, whoever fan favorite character is.
Pac-Man.
Yeah, Pac-Man. So and then they're going to be super into it all of a sudden. I think everyone has that weak spot somewhere.
I just like that turn of, like, we've already played that. Yeah, but it's got this multiplayer that you've also already played. Oh, really? I'm in.
It has the part of the series you liked, and now you can play that part again. Oh, good.
Remember the good times? Pay us $60.
I think what this game's hook is that it's trying to consolidize MMOs like Halo consolidized first-person shooters. It's trying to be like, okay, well, this is still just basically MMO stuff, and you're still seeing people, but, you know, we're giving it to you in a way that you're going to find palatable.
I can understand the point in that, and maybe even the value in that. My issue is going to be, if it's going to have the same, like, MMO quests, where you're just going to an area and just filling up a bar or just collecting stuff, if it's going to keep those elements of the MMOs that people are tired of MMOs for, then it's hard to understand the point.
It feels so loose and disjointed to me already. Like, there was a quest where, I forget exactly, I think it was another, like, same thing of going somewhere to fill up a bar. Mm-hmm. But this is an area where enemies get dropped off by ships all the time, so the ship would come in, drop off some enemies, and I'd be like, okay, I need to get past them, so I'm just going to shoot them from this rooftop. And then once I'm done with that, it's time for another ship to come in and drop off more enemies. So I was like, well, this is really kind of boring, and maybe this would be different if there were a bunch of other people there that would be, like, drawing aggro and stuff, but mm-hmm. I'd only actually seen other people twice, and that one time I was like, all right, I'm going to go help this guy. It's going to be cool and fun. And there's, like, an emote system, so I waved at him, and he just brushed me off, and I was like, fuck this game.
Great. So what is it doing that Borderlands is not doing?
There's no claptrap.
That's true. There is Peter Dinklage.
Okay, so...
That wasn't a short joke. It was just similar characters. Like, I don't know. It has a, I guess, more robust RPG system, because when you go to the main base area, it's basically just Mass Effect.
Okay. Like, I love the art style. Like, it has that sci-fi book cover art style that I love.
It is 60s sci-fi all over.
Yeah, and, like, if you had, like, a single-player game of that, even if it was just a total and complete rip of Mass Effect 2... And just do that. I would be totally into that. If you're going to do this and it's just going to be this thing I say this and say just make a rip of Mass Effect 2. But if it's going to be this thing, this rip of the thing we've seen like 15 times, then it's hard to understand, I mean, the appeal to that. I guess I'm just bitter that it's going to be a multiplayer-focused thing, and that's just not really something I'm interested in.
You could totally ignore the other people all you wanted, and they would not... Like, I mean, maybe they'll draw aggro or something, and that's... the most they'll do, but at the same time, like, that game's not that interesting to play alone.
Yeah.
So, like, it's the same way I felt about Borderlands 2. Like, I don't think that was a good single-player game at all, but I thought it was a really good multiplayer game.
I played through it single-player. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed my time with it.
I enjoyed it way more. I kind of want to go back to it and, like, finish off that DLC, but...
Yeah, weren't we talking about, like, recording that or something?
Yeah.
Maybe.
So, maybe that's a thing we're going to do soon, but... It's, I mean, Destiny, it has a couple of months left, but the fact that they're calling it an alpha is the biggest bullshit. Like, you're not going to release an alpha for people to play.
Yeah.
What you mean is beta, but you can't call it betas anymore because betas are the thing you get for pre-ordering.
Yeah, that term has been used up.
Yeah.
Alpha now sounds super duper special.
So next is going to be like, pre-order the prototype and sign up to give us feedback.
We will give you a disc of concept art.
Here's these drawings on a napkin. What do you think? Good? Okay, we're going to keep going with this.
This is the pitch that we gave our bosses on a DVD.
Oh, you pre-ordered?
Here's a design duck.
You pre-ordered? It's going to be like a shooter, I'm thinking.
So what if we made Halo, but stop there. I love it.
Yep. We'll sell millions.
And they're putting a $500 million marketing budget behind this game.
And
which
you know,
is absurd.
They do that, and they saw what happened in Titanfall, and they're still going to do this.
It's probably going to be more successful than Titanfall, if only because it's on more than one system.
This fucking industry will not learn its fucking lesson. It doesn't work. You can force the issue, but this, at the end of the day, people are going to play Call of Duty because that's what they've been playing.
Like, I was seeing pictures of Activision's booth, and, like, you compare it to Activision's booth from, like, 2 or 3 years ago when it had, like, 30 games. Because Activision makes a whole bunch of shit. Like, yeah. Not all of it's great. Most of it's not. But this year had 5 games, mm-hmm. and most of that space is dedicated to Destiny.
And all those 5 games were most likely these enormously expensive equivalents of summer blockbusters. And if one of them fails, they're fucked.
Yeah, they need each of those 5 games to sell 10 million each.
And they can't sell just, they can't have a moderate success. Everything that's sold now has to be like a cultural event. And right. there's just so many cultural events you can shove in 1 year because EA is also trying to have that cultural event. So is Microsoft, so is Sony. And it's just, there's the audience isn't that big. There's not that much money. You can see the death of everything just looming above us, and they don't care.
Like, EA is another one that had 30, 40 games before, and now they have 7.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and like some of those don't exist. Yeah. Like, those... Mirror's Edge is just like the most, like, I guess we're working on things, and here's Mass Effect 4. Here's literally a video of somebody working on a bamboo tablet.
Here's a JPEG that slowly pans while we talk about Mass Effect 4.
And like that counted as their announcement. Like, remember the Mass Effect 4 producer was like, I'm going to E3 the first time in years, and you guys should stay till the end of the conference. And like, Mass Effect 4 was introduced like somewhere in the middle, and it was just like a vague, like, Mass Effect 4.
the EA conference's ending was like the most confusing, like, wait, is that over?
I feel like they should get Larry David to host their E3 conference. Like, yes, this is a game, and what do you want from us? We make video games, some of them come out. Sports.
People are on a roof playing our game.
Later. What became of it? I never saw anything about like people playing Battlefield Hardline on a roof.
The thing is, they were on a roof in Los Angeles where it was currently really hot. Like, I'm not sure anyone was going up there to play it.
You're in that beta,
inside, right?
I'm in that beta, but I think it might be over.
Already?
I don't know. I haven't launched it yet.
Well, did you see like EA's explanation for their presence? They're saying like, we wanted to present the games as they are in the status that everyone else has them. Like, we could have paid a trailer company to produce a slick CGI trailer, and of course it was a veiled like ping at like Ubisoft. Of course,
you know why they didn't do that? Because each of those Old Republic trailers cost $1 million each.
Jesus.
So they know better than to do like this like CGI trailer thing anymore. That like they were clearly panicking because that Criterion game didn't exist.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of guys talked about, hey, what if you could jump from a hang glider onto a four wheeler?
Yeah,
somebody draw that.
And like, does anyone work at Criterion anymore? I thought they all went to Ghostlight.
Yeah, it's like 10 people or something.
And like, I guess they're just working their skeleton crew, pitching out ideas, and he's like, finally, we have something to put up there.
What happened was, like, right before the conference started, they were playing some Just Cause 2. And say, oh, man, let's talk about this game, because this is awesome. I wish we could make this, but we can't. Let's just talk about that. Let's just see if they'll let us do it.
Let's do a quick mock-up in the GoldenEye engine.
I mean, it's also, like, really weird. Like, I think Sony has, like, when they showed the Bloodborne trailer, it was entirely CG. Like, everyone knows what Dark Souls games are. You can show us what like, they had a stage demo later. And that game is playable. And it looks really impressive. But I think they're fearing, like, oh god, people are gonna look at this game and think it's janky looking, and like, we're not gonna be able to sell it. And like, Namco did a pretty decent job of just going, yeah, you're gonna die a lot in this game.
Because everything has to be controlled and produced. And if they can't control the message, then things are gonna go haywire, as was shown like when Sony released the PlayStation 3 at E3. It was a fucking disaster because they didn't control everything.
Yeah. So how about you, Dave? What have you been playing?
I've been playing some WildStar with Brian. We've been questing on our two little guys. We got a couple of guys we designed that we only play with each other, so they kind of stay in line. So, you know, every night we do about, you know, 30 minutes or an hour WildStar, have a little fun in that. Apart from that, Orcs Must Die Unchained. Orcs Must Die, if you guys don't know, it's a 3D sort of tower defense game. You build up your defenses and you fend off waves, but it's from a third person action perspective. They're launching a sort of MOBA inspired version of that, an online multiplayer version. I played it at PAX East. It was really great. It was probably my favorite game that I played at PAX. And now they're starting the alpha invites. It's still pretty early on, but it's a really fun game. It's just, it's got a lot of systems. I suck at MOBAs, at like League of Legends, Dota, like horrible. I'm the worst player at those games, and I don't play them because when I play them and I'm bad at them, I drag the whole team down.
Right.
So I just don't even play them.
That's why I stopped playing like Left 4 Dead. Just, I know that's like not competitive, but just the pressure that I'm ruining someone else's experience.
It's the worst feeling. The worst feeling in the world. But it's really fun. It's got a little bit of stability issues, but it's coming along nicely. And I played an indie game called Victor, which is like a run and shoot platformer. They evoke mention Mega Man and Contra and games like that. So I would classify them kind of like that. You know, it's a shooter where you have control of your gun in all directions. And you run around platform. It's got a little bit of backtracking, and it's like a gothic inspired game.
It looks nice.
Yeah, it's got a nice line draw and art style. You know, it's always nice when you see one of these games that doesn't just go straight pixel art. They have a nice hand drawn style, it plays really well. And you know, it's not too expensive, and you know, like $10 maybe. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but yeah, it's a heck of a good time. I've only put about an hour and a half into it, I think, right now, but I've already really enjoyed what I played. So I think that's about it. Oh, I played some Lego Marvel Super Heroes.
Which, that's the newest one?
There's a couple of new ones.
Batman one, right?
Yeah, there's a Batman one that hasn't come out. There's a Lego movie, and there's The Hobbit, I think, since this. I mean, they put out, like, Traveler's Tales, they put out, like, three of these games a year or something.
When does this train crash, I wonder?
Yeah, I know, but that's the thing. Like, it's great. Like, this game's just, I mean, you know, it's not going to change anybody's view of open world games, but it really just does a great job. Like, it's got enough campy, stupid superhero humor that if you like superheroes, you're gonna like it. It's got enough Lego references that if you like that, you're gonna like it.
And I keep meaning to give it a try because it's like they frequently goes on sale for like $3.
Yeah, that's the only reason I own it. It was on some kind of crazy sale, and I was like, well, and every now and then my kid will happen onto like a Lego game video on YouTube or something, and you're like, okay, well, Mia, in maybe 6 months we can start playing that together. So I picked it up, and it's really, really good. I mean, those folks really, I think they've been making Lego games for like 10 years, and they've made like 20 or 22 of them. So like they churn them out, but they haven't gotten lazy. Like they've only been getting better. The few that I've played, like across the course of the span of time that the Traveler's Tale has been making them, they've only gotten better. And I'm highly impressed, really impressed by the game, especially the mechanics that they use. They sort of force backtracking by having certain areas within the actual episodic story levels that can only be accessed by certain characters. Like you'll see a thing that can only be opened by a telekinetic power, and you're running with Iron Man and Hulk because that's what the story dictates. So once you finish that level, it's now open and you can come back to it with, you know, Jean Grey or whatever, and you can jump back in and find, you know, the little secrets and stuff. So it's absolutely fantastic. I Steam sale target for anybody who enjoys open world games. Like really, you'll get some enjoyment out of it. But yeah, that's it. Brian and I tried Broforce multiplayer.
How's that working out?
It works. You know, it got a little choppy towards the end, but you know, I'm happy to report that it connected and we played for an hour and it worked pretty well.
Then it has multiplayer. I'll jump in finally.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's totally chaotic with three or four people. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, it's a fine game single player. Like totally enjoyable that way.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. What have you been playing, Mark?
I know we can't talk about it very long because you said there's a storm situation going on.
Seemingly.
I've been playing a lot of Lollipop Chainsaw, finished that over the weekend. That's really something I'd like to talk more about. I don't know if we got time for it right now. I think that's actually a good video game. I'm not saying it's great. But I know it kind of got ravaged in the press.
Yeah.
But like the core gameplay concepts are enjoyable. Like it's harmed mainly by the enemy design, because it's a goddamn zombie game. All the enemies are just slow, like horde type enemies are just like trying to kill you.
That said, that first boss is pretty cool. The Rockstar.
Yeah, this is one of the few games where I actually enjoyed all the bosses.
Is that guy the first boss? The goth dude. That's who I fought when I played the demo at PAX last year or something. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
There's that, and the punk rock boss was good. All the bosses are actually decent in that game. But just, you know, that's the issue. Like I think like Grasshopper has. They release very stylistic video games, and I have to think it's like they were reined in a little bit and like produced something within their own limitations. They could probably produce something classic because this game, they expected it to be huge. Like Peter Gunn helped write
it. WB came on with it. They put like a Evil Dead costume in there.
Yeah.
Geary was all over that.
Yeah, a huge amount of press for it. Like, really, like the voice acting is kind of bored because they're using professional voice actors for a video game that really doesn't need it, and like they're not really into the whole absurd nature of the game. But I have to wonder if they were like able to like just tone that down a little bit and just like improve the actual gameplay of it. It could have been something to stand on the same level as like DMC or Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah.
But just it's that sort of game. Just it's flawed in some tragic ways, and it could have been something amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that's Grasshopper Games in a nutshell.
It is. It's happened to every single one. I really want to get hold of Killer Is Dead now. See if I can find that somewhere.
It's out on PC.
I want the disc. Yeah.
Unless it comes on cheap on Steam sale.
Yeah, Steam sale.
Yeah. I still want the disc. It's the sort of thing I want disc for.
All right. Let's wrap it up then.
All right.
So we don't lose this file completely. All right, this is... God, I didn't even check the number. 83. Free to play 83. All right. Free to play 83. Brian will be back next week, hopefully, if he's not dead. He might be dead.
Listen to the Jumpcast.
Yeah. Listen to Jumpcast, I guess.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.